Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when you use code THPN during signup. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with the DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Only at DraftKings.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bolts broadcast. My name is Mike Mitchelson. Chase Grosho with me today. Chase, how you doing?
I'm okay, honestly. That's really about it. Is okay. My allergies are just terrible today. Oh my god, I woke up this morning, I couldn't breathe. I still sound kind of like stuffed up, congested right now. It's just been a morning of coughing, blowing my nose, and hacking shit up. It's been brutal.
Yeah, that's really tough. I've never had that happen to me ever because I don't have allergies. Thank the Lord. It's a good thing we don't have John on the show, because he's someone that just, when COVID started, he talks about natural selection. He's like, hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And he says the same for allergies. So he'd probably be ripping you right now if he heard that.
I mean, they're allergies. What am I supposed to do about it? I'm just kind of chilling. I don't have any control over it.
Yeah, I've got no idea. John's he's a crazy guy. And that's why he was, you know, out at the bar on a Monday night. But, you know, it is what it is. But for today's Bolts broadcast, we're going to be talking about an update on Kucherov and Stamkos. Going to be looking at our most recent game against the against the Detroit Red Wings. Going to be looking at an upcoming series, our last series of the season. And then after the commercial break, we got a lot to talk about. And I think the main topic is going to be Tom Wilson and what he did. So I'm actually super excited to get into that because, Chase, we've talked about it many times before that the Department of Player Safety, they've kind of, it seems like they've been lacking, at least since George Parros has been there. So I'm excited to get into that.
Yeah, oh, I am very ready, very ready.
I see that you have a couple sentences written out here. I'm not going to be, you know, reading those, but I can't wait for you to scream these. There's a couple that are just in all caps, which is great. So, well, Chase, let's hop first into the Stamkos and Kucherov news, as today we got an update that both were out on the ice in regular jerseys, and I believe they're the first two out on the ice.
Yeah, they were. Big news. I mean, good to see. We kind of knew, you know, with Kucherov, he was going to be ready to go for playoffs. He's probably been ready for a little bit, but they got to kind of play this game. Oh, you know, he's just healing slowly, whatever. I'm sure he's been ready for the last like 2-3 weeks, but there's no point of trying to maneuver the cap to get him in. So he'll be fresh for playoffs and help us go on that run. And then Stammer, you know, this is something I talked about with my brother over the weekend. This injury, when it first happened, I thought it was only going to be a day or two, end up turning into the rest of the regular season. And it's been, you know, about a month now since he's played. So it's going to be good to, you know, hopefully get him in for playoffs. He's hoping that he's ready for game one of the playoffs, which, gosh, I hope too. But, I mean, the way he's been just healing and getting hurt these last couple of years, it's getting kind of scary, dude. His career really might be deteriorating fast.
I agree. It's very scary. I mean, I'm going to compare it to a football player, Tyler Eifert. But he just had, I think, like a lingering ankle injury like 3-4 years back. and he was out for the rest of the season. But it was just an ankle injury. It was nothing big. Like, any other player would come back from it. It seems like that's kind of the same thing with Stamkos. Something small, a tweak, can turn into something bigger, and that's really tough. But, Chase, I want to get your opinions on the possibility of seeing Kucherov or Stamkos in a regular season game before the playoffs. Is there a chance that we get to see them come in and get a little warm-up action before the playoffs hit, or is there really just no reason to risk it?
No reason. I mean, that's just, first of all, no reason to risk it. I mean, they've just been chilling. We're in the playoffs. What the hell's the point? And we'd have to maneuver the cap in some crazy way anyway. I mean, like, Stamkos is on LTIR himself, so that clears up cap space. It wouldn't be easy to do. So playoffs come around, you don't have to worry about the cap anymore. They'll both be ready for then.
Sounds good. Well, Chase, let's hop into our most recent game. This was on Sunday, May 2nd, against the Detroit Red Wings. We had a game prior with the Red Wings that, unfortunately, we dropped to them, and that ended our four-game win streak. However, this game played out much better for our Tampa Bay Lightning, and it puts us on a one-game win streak right now, trying to extend that this Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a much better outcome. I mean, Blake Coleman scored 16 seconds into the game. I mean, I turned on the game right at the start. I looked down at my phone for a second. I looked up and they're celebrating a goal. I'm like, what the hell just happened? But yeah, you know, Coleman got on the board quick, and then obviously Detroit never came back. The final was 2-1, and it was just another game where Detroit really the whole time they just weren't in it. I mean, 23 total shots. It's not a, you know, very good team. You know, Greiss and Bernier, we've mentioned before, been playing well for them. You know, Bernier made 40 saves and 42 shots. So, you know, good on him. But at the end of the day, his team's just brutal in front of him.
Absolutely. And when you nearly double a team's shots, that's usually going to work out pretty well for you. I mean, there's chances, there's times where that doesn't happen to be the case. We've seen that before with this Red Wings team as well. But Chase, I want to talk about the Blake Coleman goal and how he scored only 16 seconds into the game. What does that do to an opposing team's morale? Obviously, we know that we want to get on the board first. And a quick goal like this is a great way to do it. But when a team gets scored on within the first minute of a game, is it something that really hinders an opposing team? Or is it something that usually teams just kind of shake off?
So I'll speak to from a couple, you know, points here. When I was a player, and I only played high school hockey, nothing major. But when I got scored on early, it was kind of a wake up call. It's like, all right, that these guys are really ready to come, and I got to zone in a little more. And you play a little bit harder and a little more reckless until you can try to tie up, and then, you know, you kind of go back to your original game. But in this instance, you know, this Red Wings team, they're not a very good team. When you have a lot like a pattern of failure, you know, granted the Red Wings, they've had some good strengths here. You know, the last month and a half of the season, they've had some good play. But still, you know, when you're clearly an outmatched team, you know, the other team scores early, and it's like, oh boy, this could be bad. We just got to do everything we can to try to, you know, suppress it. And I mean, they tried. I mean, Tampa still only scored two goals because Bernier played phenomenal. But, you know, the rest of the guys around them, they're kind of demoralized, inexperienced, or just flat out, you know, not good enough anymore. So pretty much what it comes down to, you know, in an instance of a bad team, it's down on its luck. It's just going to kind of put them in a hole even more. But really, any other team, it should kind of wake them up.
Okay, and now let me ask you the other side of the coin. What does it do for a team that gets that goal within the first, you know, 16 seconds like you would Blake Coleman? I'm sure it's got to get them just absolutely electrified and they're ready to go.
Oh, yeah, you instantly get double the energy. You know, sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's a bad thing. If you can, you know, take it and you can score a couple goals early, like you score 10, 15 seconds into the game, then you can score another one within that first half of the first period, you're going to be in good control for the rest of the game. But sometimes, you know, that energy can really double up and everyone else will be flying around. And if you don't have the luck, you're going to kind of crash earlier. And then in the third period, you're going to be a little bit slower and the other team can kind of take advantage of that. So, you know, if this was a different team than the Red Wings, we could have seen a different outcome here, especially with Tampa only squeezing in two goals. But you know, because it is the Red Wings, not as talented of a team. If the Lightning did pull back the reins a little bit, they were still in a good spot.
Absolutely. Well, Chase, let's take a look at our series that starts on Saturday and will finish next Monday with the Florida Panthers. We've got Dallas on Wednesday. We have Dallas on Friday, but then we head into Florida on Saturday and Monday, and we did cover the Dallas series in last episode, but we'll be taking a look at the Florida series now. And this is a team that is good. This is used to be little brother, but right now they've been a much better team. And this is actually a crucial series because right now, if you look at the division, Florida currently sitting second with 75 points. Tampa sitting third with 73 points. Tampa does have an extra two games over Florida. So, or at least left, two games left. So this is going to be a crucial series, one that could determine the seeding of the Central Division. And if Tampa does well against Dallas and Florida, that could push them into first and not have to verse the second or the third seed, depending on where they finish.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. This is obviously, as Mike, you know, mentioned, talented Florida team with you know, some stuff on the line still. So it's not like these teams are just going to be kind of sitting back. They're still going to, you know, definitely put in an effort. Maybe not necessarily 100%, but maybe, you know, like a 90% where they're still going to try to win the game. They still want to try to get that positioning. But at the end of the day, they're going to try to prepare themselves for the playoffs. I mean, if Tampa can come out with a you know, serious sweep here, that'd be fantastic. But really, like, when it comes down to it, I'm not too worried. It seems like it's really just going to be Tampa, Florida first round anyway. So whatever happens. I mean, if we get the, you know, the second seed instead of third seed, great. If we get third seed instead of second seed, whatever it is, what it is.
Yeah, and I would be so happy to see a Florida-Tampa matchup in the first round. That'd be awesome just to stay in the state of Florida and have little brother and big brother go at each other and see who's really the top dog. I myself am a big brother. However, Chase, you are a little brother. I always know that I'm going to beat down Jake. I'm sure you always know that Tyler's going to beat you down. So
nope.
It seems like
zero chance.
So I guess, you know, if Tampa's coming in as the big brother, then you would expect them to take the series. But who knows? It could be a fun little matchup there. But Chase, I'm really hoping to see Spencer Knight in one of these two games. Will it happen? Who knows? But to think that Florida wouldn't try their luck with Spencer Knight in yet another game after a stellar performance in his first game, I think that would be kind of dumb of them if they didn't want to at least test the waters. I mean, Bob and Dreiger, they've been decent, but recently they've lacked a little bit more. So I'd love to see Spencer Knight in one of these last two games of the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, with him getting a little more playing time beforehand, I don't think it's impossible. It'd be cool to see him, too. Obviously, I want us to, you know, shit on him if he's in that. I don't care who's in that. Nice. I want Tampa to win 15 to nothing. Why wouldn't I? But I'd still want to check it out, you know, see what he can do against an elite team.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Chase, we're going to hop to a quick commercial break. After the break, we're going to be talking about the Tom Wilson situation, I guess we'll call it. So we'll talk about that and so much more right after this.
What's up, everybody? It's Jaren from the Hockey Podcast Network's newest show, the Windy City Benders Podcast. My co-host Tanner and I bring our unique takes on Blackhawks hockey.
Us on this show have been a pro Carlton guy. He's the right coach for the situation.
Giving it to our rivals.
That's one of the things that kind of sucks. I wish we would have had the Blues in our division this year because our trash.
As well as bringing in some guests from the NHL.
Please welcome to the show goaltender Scott Darling.
The Eagle himself, Ed Belfour.
Brian Bickle.
David Boland.
Letterkenny.
The show started out with basically a beer league hockey team.
And anybody who loves the game. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps, the Hockey Podcast Network website, and on social media at WCB Podcasts.
All right, and we are back, Chase. Let's talk about the Tom Wilson situation. So if you haven't happened to see it, Tom Wilson, he did some things to Pavel Buchnevich and Artemi Panarin in their game against New York. I think that it should have been a suspension. However, the Department of Player Safety disagreed, and they only gave Tom Wilson a $5,000 fine. Chase, why don't you talk about what happened, and then also you can get into your big beef with the Department of Player Safety.
So it starts off, you know, kind of a crashing the net. You know, Vitek Vanecek's in net. Pavel Buchnevich kind of crashes the net after the puck's, you know, kind of in his possession. Gives him a little tap on the pad. Play's still live, so is what it is. You know, I understand players want you know, get frustrated, want to kind of get a shot back to the other guy. So that happens all the time. You know, if a goalie gets poked, you know, you might get a shove or a cross check and, you know, you move on after a little bit of a skirmish. But no, this isn't the case. Pavel Buchnevich is on the ground. Tom Wilson makes sure to take him down. So his face is down on the ice. And of course, Tom Wilson just has to punch him as hard as he can in the back of the head. Obviously the Rangers aren't going to like that. So they start going after Wilson. And then Wilson is like, oh my God, there's these tough people that actually have a chance against me. No, I'm a little bitch. I'm going to go back off and find Panarin, who's not ready to fight, and sucker punch him a bunch of times. So that's what he did. And, normal Tom Wilson fashion, he gets three penalties. He gets a 10-minute misconduct in that as well. And then Department of Player Safety comes out and says, oh, $5,000 fine. Are you fucking kidding me? Anybody who's seen this video, unless you're a blind ass Washington fan, this is right at you, hockey troll, by the way, this is right at you, because I know you're 100% defending him, and I haven't seen you do anything about it yet, but I know 100% you're defending him, and it's Bush League, because this is just absolute garbage. This isn't shit that's meant for the NHL. It's not good for the game of hockey. It's setting a bad example. It's incentivizing hurting players. I mean, $5,000 to an NHL player is nothing. It's like me, cleaning out my car. I find some loose change and then I just throw it out the window. That's pretty much what this is. It's an absolute joke. The fact that the Department of Player Safety only has a $5,000 maximum fine is fucking embarrassing. I mean, the NHLPA's lawyer, whoever the hell was the one that negotiated that, he deserves every bit of credit for that, because that's just incredible. The fact that, the stupid ass repeat offender rule is in play. So, oh, he's not listed as a repeat offender because he hasn't been suspended in the last however many months. And, that's just garbage. If you get suspended before, it should always be the same. Just because, there was a long break. Don't forget, there was a huge stretch where there was just no hockey played. So that counts into the time span of him not being suspended, too. So there was just less opportunity for him to do shit. Then when he does shit, after that time frame has passed, he just gets off scot-free. It's just an absolute fucking joke to me.
And I agree 100% with Chase. And if you have heard me talk about Tom Wilson before, you know that I am not a Tom Wilson fan at all. So I put him in the same boat as Rafi Torres. That might be going a little far, but I've just
not far.
Never been a fan of Tom Wilson whatsoever. So I think it's pretty stupid as well that he's only getting a $5,000 fine. And there's some contradicting or conflicting, I'll say, viewpoints out on Twitter. So you have Ryan Whitney coming out saying, in case you didn't know, every single GM in the NHL would want Tom Wilson on their team. For those of you crying that he should be kicked out of the league, shut the hell up. So you've got Ryan Whitney kind of defending Tom Wilson. I don't believe I saw him say anything about defending Tom Wilson's actions, because I think if anyone defended Tom Wilson's actual actions, that'd be a little asinine. But then you had John Scott, 2016 All-Star, who was an enforcer himself. He said that it was an absolute joke. John Scott came out and said he's a repeat offender. How is he only getting a $5,000 fine? And he said that this just sets a precedent. If Peros wants to do this crap with Tom Wilson, if I'm a player that, doesn't necessarily matter to the overall picture of, scoring and everything like that, if I'm a player that can get away with some of this stuff, a little bit of a grinder, if I see Sidney Crosby, I'm going to punch him in the head. I'm going to slew foot him. I'm going to twist his ankle. That's what John Scott was saying. He was like, if it's only a $5,000 fine for what Tom Wilson did, what's going to happen to me if I freaking twist someone's ankle? Absolutely nothing. It's bullshit what they're doing. So I love those points from John Scott. I personally lean towards John Scott's point of view than Ryan Whitney's. However, I do think that most NHL GMs would like Tom Wilson on their team, because he's a guy that is very physical and can also score a little bit. But I don't know. I'm happy when Tom Wilson has to go against guys who are also big and bad, because then he cowers like a little bitch.
Yeah, no shit. Every fucking team in the NHL wants Tom Wilson on their team because he can do this fucking shit and just get away with it all the time. It's embarrassing. If I could have a guy who could just intentionally try to injure players and just pull cheap, dirty shit every game, and they just get off with, here's a little bit of a fine, no shit, I fucking want him on my team. I'll pay for those fines myself at that point. It's a joke. He's a good player, too. If he just cut the shit and, fucking checked himself, checked his attitude, and wasn't such a dirty ass player, and he just played the game hard and he scored goals, I would like Tom Wilson. I love that kind of hockey player. you know, he could be like a Cam Neely type of guy if he really wanted to. He could start finding the net more. He could reel himself in and become that kind of player. But he doesn't want it. He wants to be scum. He wants to be shit. He doesn't want to fight anybody that's tough. I mean, he does not go after any tough players. There's a picture of him. Matt Martin knocked him over a couple seasons ago, and he was throwing a pissy fit on the ice. A tough guy finally came up to you, man, and then we saw your fucking true colors. All you do is go after star players, these people that aren't, you know, playing physical games. The game of hockey has changed so much that, you know, we have pretty much all these skill players, and these physical players are really winding, you know, kind of like finding themselves out of the game. So there's less and less people to match up against Tom Wilson, so he takes advantage of that shit and just goes after these star players. You know, I really would not mind, because in the American Hockey League and in the East Coast Hockey League, there's still a lot of tough sons of bitches down there. I would love for every team that Tom Wilson has to face to call up somebody to just beat the shit out of them, because, like, there's plenty of guys that are down in those lower leagues that are way, 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 way tougher than anybody else in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talked about Tom Wilson getting the shit beat out of him. I think it was a reply to John Scott's tweet. It was just someone that said, here's a friendly reminder that Wayne Simmonds absolutely thrashed Tom Wilson. It was a video of him just kicking his ass. And there's nothing better than that, because as someone who is just not a fan of Tom Wilson whatsoever, stuff like that is just so fun to watch. And it even belongs with, like, who was it? Zdeno Chara versus the dude on Columbus a while back where – oh, no, no. It was Milan Lucic. It was Milan Lucic versus – I don't even remember the guy from Columbus's name, but he knocked out Milan Lucic and things like that.
Was it Jody Shelley?
I don't think so. I think it was a defenseman. I don't know if Shelley's a defenseman.
No, he was not. Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyways – seeing a player like Lucic and Tom Wilson get knocked on their ass, it's great. It's a great feeling. But, 100%. Chase, we'll move on from that. Let's get into a incredible story with Michael Hauser. He wins his NHL debut for the Sabres. He was an undrafted goalie, but he hasn't started an AHL game in over 5 years.
Yeah, kind of a crazy little thing here. So, as you just mentioned, you know, Michael Hauser gets called up for the Buffalo Sabres, makes his NHL start. I don't know what the exact situation was. I think there was injuries ahead of him. So, you know, it is what it is. You get to give a guy his first NHL opportunity. You know, he's 28 years old. He was never drafted, and, you know, he just got an NHL contract, and he gets to come in, and he plays pretty well for Buffalo. He hasn't started an NHL game in 5 years, you know, as you mentioned. Last time he started games was with the Ontario Reign in 2015-2016 season. The rest, he's been in the East Coast League the whole time. Been a pretty good goalie down there, but, you know, that's also the East Coast League. It really doesn't mean too much. You get up to the NHL, and it's a completely different game. But goalies are weird. You know, sometimes goalies can go on hot streaks, and all of a sudden, some random goalie who has no business being in the NHL can just go on a tear. You know, Andrew Hammond is a good example of that.
That's the first name I thought of.
Yeah, so it's like this stuff happens before. You know, even Scott Darling, he earned himself a starting NHL goalies contract when he was never worth that in the first place, because, you know, goalies, if they're just in the right groove, any goalie can make saves. And it's kind of what happened for Mike Hauser here. You know, he comes in, he lets up two goals, but has a 944 save. They win the game 4-2, and, you know, maybe he gets another start here or two to finish out the season. And who knows, maybe for some reason he gets to be an NHL goalie going forward.
Yeah, an awesome story for Michael Hauser. And I just looked it up, Chase. It was Dalton Prout that dropped Milan Lucic.
Okay, yeah.
Tough dude. But I wanted to go back to the Hamburglar stuff. Didn't he get, like, free burgers from McDonald's or something for the rest of his life?
Yeah, up in Canada, yeah. He got free, burgers from Canadian McDonald's the rest of his life.
Like, what? How does that happen? Just a nickname and a good little streak of goaltending can get you that. That's amazing.
Good for
him,
though.
We got to get a nickname going for us.
Yeah.
So that if we find ourselves on a good little streak of luck, then maybe we'll get something. Okay, our nickname, the Chick-fil-A spicy chicken sandwich boys.
Absolutely. The first thing that came to my mind was Chick-fil-A. Well, we're going to really workshop this. We're going to find something better than Chick-fil-A spicy sandwich boys, but we're going to come up with something good. And Chick-fil-A, you can sponsor us, and we won't even mind promoting the food and restaurant on the show. Honestly.
Are you kidding me? Could you imagine just doing live shows of the Bolts broadcast with Chick-fil-A catered right to us.
Oh,
and, you know, it, instead of our mid-roll commercial break being, you know, whatever it is for, it's just like, hey, have you, or even adding a commercial break, just, hey, have you ever had Chick-fil-A? It's really good. And then it just shows us eating Chick-fil-A.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
It'd be great. But Chase, let's talk about some stats for, you know, there's a couple players out there doing pretty well this year. You know, like Austin Matthews, he's doing pretty well when it comes to goals, having 39 on the season so far. But there is one player out there who's nearing 100 points on a shortened season.
Yeah, dude, Connor McDavid, believe it or not, you know, if there's any other name that you thought, then, you know, you're silly, but McDavid's just doing incredible things. He's averaging like 3 points a game over his last few games. He's just dominating, and the 100-point mark is very much, you know, in reach. If he can hit 100 points in a 56-game season, I mean, holy hell, dude. In today's NHL, that's an impressive line. You know, it's going to be hard to ever top numbers that like Gretzky or Lemieux put up. But like McDavid is that type of dude where if someone was going to do it, I mean, it's him, because he's just a ridiculous talent. He's clearly better than everybody else. You watch him play, and I've mentioned it before, it seriously looks like the varsity kid got sent down to play freshman hockey and is just dominating everybody. Like, it's just, he looks like he is only half trying. He still puts up 3 points a game. It's incredible everything that he does on the ice.
And I don't want to say it's because he's in the North Division, but I mean, some of it has to do with that. But Chase, I will say, I think it was back in February, I asked the question, or I posed the question to you, does McDavid finish 15 points ahead of the next guy below? You said no. I also disagreed. I didn't think that was going to be possible. He's currently 18 points above Leon Draisaitl, his teammate, who currently holds second.
Yeah, and I mean, it's definitely possible to hold that lead, but at the same time, if McDavid's scoring, you know, Draisaitl, all he needs is 3 or 4 more extra points in that span. It's not impossible, but at the same time, it's also not lucky. So, I mean, odds are McDavid does it.
Yeah, which is absolutely crazy. And I don't want to just disregard Austin Matthews, too, because he's had a phenomenal season himself with 39 goals on the season. He's surely going to hit 40 on the season. And this is a player that was on an incredible pace, on a goal per game pace that slowed down a bit, but having 40 goals in a 56 game season, that's incredible.
Yeah, it is. Don't get me wrong, but I see so much shit on Twitter that just pisses me off on a daily basis. I hate using Twitter. I really do. I see so much dumb shit. It just makes me mad for no reason. And I see Toronto beat writers are saying shit like Austin Matthews scoring, you know, at a 66 goal season over 82 games. No one's done that in the modern day, or not even close. First of all, Ovechkin had 65 goals. Second of all, Stamkos also had 60 goals. So I'd say those are pretty close. Matthews, he has not scored 66 goals in a season. You know, he's scoring 39, 40 right now. And people are saying he's putting up more impressive seasons than Lemieux and Gretzky. I fucking hate the Toronto media.
Oh boy, dude. Toronto, they love hyping up their players, and especially Austin Matthews. But do you remember when Austin Matthews was originally getting some hate when he first went over to Toronto? Because a good old American boy, dude. And he supported Team America or Team USA when it was a hockey tournament.
He literally tweeted out the American flag because they won a game, and everyone's like, that's it, I'm done with Matthews, trade him, we don't need this shit anymore. Like, are you guys stupid? Are you that stupid? Honestly, please, if you're that stupid, just let me know and I can stop getting mad at you.
I want to see Chase's Twitter block list, because I'm sure 80% of them are Toronto sports media.
Oh,
because the amount of it really is like they have freaking bipolar disease, because one day Austin Matthews is the Lord and Savior, and the next day he is just scum. So it's absolutely fantastic when you look at the Toronto media and Toronto fans, because they're so wishy-washy on everything. But Chase, that's going to do it for our little player check-in there. We just wanted to mention McDavid and Matthews, just incredible year so far. A little bit left to go. McDavid, could he hit that 100-point mark in a 56-game season? Absolutely. We'll keep an eye on that. But Chase, we're going to head to hockey name of the day now. Scrolling down that Okay.
What?
I didn't think we did three names, but I guess we're going to do that now.
That's not three names.
There's three different, like, it's a first, middle, and last.
No? It's not a middle name, no. It's,
then why is there a space?
It's like, you know, when there's a van before a name or a mech before a name, it's the same thing. It's just part of the last name.
Yeah, but those are connected. This one's not connected.
Most vans aren't connected. They're only connected in, like, when they're, like, move over to America because they force them to come together. Like, the original, like, originating names are usually separated.
Excuse you, Andrew Van Ginkle is connected.
Yeah, because it was forced to when he came over to America. Not him, but his family.
Right. Okay, so let's try this. Man, that first name's getting me. Let's go. Hube Dupon. I don't know. Is it Hweeb?
It is Hweeb.
It's Hweeb. Nice.
Dupon. It's like a D-E sound, not a D-U. Hweeb Dupon is actually a Dutch-born old-time forward. He played on the original international team from the Netherlands in the 1934-1935 season. He was born in 1910. He scored the first ever goal for the Dutch national team, actually, a fun fact of the day. He was also, he was involved in World War II. He was part of, like, the resistance kind of anti-government group in the Netherlands. This dude just had, you know, a pretty active life. He got to play in world championships, never in Olympics. The Netherlands never made it there, but, you know, he got to play some international hockey, played, you know, their pro league over there. He passed away in 2001. You know, he lived to the age of almost 91, just passed away at 90. So, you know, really kind of unique, incredible life and kind of fun fact.
Yeah, absolutely. An incredible story being on the Dutch national team. But Chase, that's going to do it for the show. We're going to do a little recap for the U18 World Junior Championship in next episode. So, unfortunately, America was bounced already, but we wanted to wait until the gold medals were handed out. So, we'll be talking about that in next Monday's episode, but that's going to do it for this episode. Chase, if you would give them an outro, that'd be just glorious.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you'd like to check us out on Patreon and support us that way, we'd really appreciate it. Not required, but just a way to get some more Hockey Podcast Network content. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, that is at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, follow WNP on Twitter at WNP Sports Pod. That's WNP Sports Pod. Bolts Broadcast, you're going to get our Tampa Bay Lightning talk and just kind of general hockey stuff as well. The Hockey Podcast Network, you can find the original content within the network, whether it be a team show or just an original kind of type of show, you can find it there. And then at WNP, you can find us mostly talking about football. We do some hockey stuff or some other various sports stuff, too. But you can get your fix for really everything that's important in life and sports between those three things. But while you're at it, check out the hockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen easy peasy lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. And don't forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you guys next time.